live from the LindseyCars.com studios in the nation's capital, WJFK-FM and WJFK-HD1 Manassas and WIAD-HD3 Bethesda.
We are football. From Victory Monday to Football Friday.
Oh, yeah.
And Washington Game Day Uncensored.
Yeah. Bring it up.
Yeah.
And let's go. Flyers, touchdown.
We are football.
Sports Radio 106.7
The Fan. 106.7 The Fan Sports Flash.
This update brought to you by My Computer Career. And far be it from the update anchor to question something that one of the hosts said, but according to my research here at 1015 Half Street, we didn't just come across the fact that the Rooster has his name just as the Rooster. It's actually part of one of his email addresses. Other news, the Dallas Cowboys canceled practice today after what the club said there was a non-coronavirus medical emergency involving one of their strength and conditioning coaches. Marcus Paul experienced a medical emergency Tuesday morning at the facility, and he was rushed to the hospital. An update from the team said that for the Paul family, Marcus is in the process of undergoing further medical tests, and more information will be made available at the appropriate time. This is the new normal. Take control of your future today with My Computer Career. You can start your life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from home with zero computer experience. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today from the Crop Metcalf 5-star sports desk. I'm Monk, 106.7 The Fan.
Ladies and gentlemen, 106.7 The Fan.
Hold it now.
Welcome back, Pete Medhurst, Chris Russell, Pino Sports, and the Rooster with you till 6 o'clock. Time now to get into a little Nats hot stove. Baseball's hot stove, not necessarily hot, because we don't necessarily know for sure what rules we're playing by, especially in the National League next year. That certainly has some guys out there waiting with bated breath to see how much money they may get offered and also what trades some teams may make. Please be joined now by Jesse Dougherty of the Washington Post. Jesse, how are you, sir?
How are you guys doing?
Jesse, obviously, you did the deep dive on Chris Bryant. If somehow Washington could acquire him, he would answer a specific need that is certainly a need right now. I think some people, I wonder how many people are actually out on Carter Kieboom already. If you get Chris Bryant, you certainly take all the pressure off Kieboom in terms of having to be the guy in 2021. But I thought your point about Max's last year and knowing that you would have that big three at the starting part of the rotation is critical here. What kind of compensation would it take, though, in your mind and from who you discuss with, for the Nationals to maybe acquire Chris Bryant, and do they have that compensation available?
Yeah, that's the big question. And for me, like when I point out that I think the Chris Bryant move is a really smart one for the Nationals, because as you mentioned, it checks a box at third base, and even more importantly, it checks a box as a really big need for a middle fielder bat, a void that's been left ever since Anthony Rendon departed. I'm assuming, and also from what I've heard from people, that it's not going to take a huge prospect haul. If it did, if you had to send out some of your top arms right now in an already pretty depleted system, I would probably back off that deal personally. That's a lot of armchair GMing going on for me. But like, from what I've heard, it wouldn't take a massive haul. And I don't know exact names. There's just so many guys floating around the system. But the fact is, the Cubs are considering possibly non-tendering Chris Bryant on December 2nd. Like, they do not see a future with this guy because, you know, their relationship is so frayed by his service time grievance. They're sort of in like a transition mode between one court, hopefully for them, another court in the future. And Chris Bryant, for a couple of years now, it's been pretty apparent that he would walk when he became a free agent. So for the Cubs, like, leverage is dwindling by the day right now. So if the Nationals would have done this deal last year, you could have said, oh, maybe Luis Garcia is in the mix. Maybe someone like Jackson Rutledge is in the mix. Even though the Nationals would not have dealt him, the Cubs could have, like, you know, could have asked for him, and it wouldn't have been crazy. Now, I don't think it takes those names to get it done. It's just a matter of if the Nationals want to do that, especially with the possibility that he is non-tendered and becomes a free agent on December 2nd, or if they want to do it because he'll cost upwards of $20 million for 2021 in his last year of arbitration. So he's definitely an expensive player right now. You have to decide whether you want to take it on. Some recent injuries, some recent production sagging that I think is just a product of those injuries. But there's a lot of questions here. But in terms of them having the pieces to move, I don't think that's in question.
If they say he doesn't get non-tendered, as you were mentioning, Jesse, or say they make the trade before that, because they just want to control that option. I agree with you about the whole prospect thing. We'll move on beyond that. Do you, if you're Rizzo and the Nationals, have to operate as this is a one-year rental and look-see type thing in terms of the money and whether you want to go a long-term deal with Brian? Or do you have to almost, when you make a trade like that for a bat like this, even though he's had some injury problems, you have to almost think, hey, you know what? We can't make this trade unless we know we can get him signed longer term than just 1 year.
I think it's a great question. I don't think you have to know necessarily, one, because I think if you're giving up, like I said, if you're giving up like a great arm out of your system, then you have to know. If you're giving up a middling prospect haul of three or four guys who you don't see having a great future with you anyway, I think you're okay with it being this 1 year. And then you take your chances with exclusive negotiating rights for about 11 months. Like, you're the only team now that can talk extension with him until he hits free agency at the end of next October. That's a pretty good place for you to be with a guy like that. I mean, and I do think that right now, I'm having a hard time figuring out what the Nationals are going to do from a spending standpoint. I think everyone's tight-lipped about it for obvious reasons, and there's a lot of owners right now around baseball who are saying they took a lot of losses with no fans this past year. I actually think that one-year investment is easier to sell to ownership. If, like, this is all conjecture, but if you're in the front office right now and you're trying to get the approval on spending, let's say I'm going to spend $19, $20 million for 1 year on one guy, rather than I'm going to ask you to give me, you know, the money for 4 years of George Springer or 3 years of DJ LeMahieu or two years of Justin Turner, I almost think the one-year investment element could be attractive to the Nationals because it allows you to say to ownership, look, we'll take this guy on. You can figure out our books later, see what we're going to do beyond this. We know we have him for 2021, which, you know, as Pete mentioned earlier, is a big year for the Nationals and the end of this sort of one of their title windows closing. I think it's actually attractive in some odd way as sort of a product of the time. That said, I'm sure the second he got in the door, the Nationals would have their eyes on extending him and would want to do so. And, you know, his agent being Scott Boras, the Nats and Boras are no stranger to discussion talks.
Jesse, if they make a move like this, does it say that they feel a little bit better about Andrew Stevenson in the outfield mix, or does it preclude them from looking elsewhere, especially if we go back to the traditional rules of the National League next year, which, you know, that's also something that's probably holding up at least a couple of guys. But if we go back to the traditional rules, does that tell you that they feel better about Andrew Stevenson, or do they go get another outfield piece, you know, to try and bring another fresh face in here?
Yeah, I mean, I think I get what you're saying. Like, if you patch this offensive hole with a pretty big proven bat, it may make you feel better about, you know, having Luis Garcia potentially play second base or Andrew Stevenson play right field or left field. I understand the concept. I do think that the best version of any team for the Nationals is still having Stevenson as a very serviceable fourth outfielder. And even if a Bryant trade would maybe take them out of the running for the big corner outfield names like Springer, Ozuna, Brantley, Peterson, like, I could see this is kind of just throwing a name against the wall, but like a Nick Markakis signing for 1 year, you know, where you get a left-handed bat in there who's really proven, you know, you'll get production from. Like, I think that would be a really good signing where you're not necessarily looking to get your big bat in the corner outfield, but there are still options out there where you don't have to maybe go to a guy who's not quite proven, because this Andrew Stevenson thing was great in September. It's also a really small sample size still. So I think there's a way, if you look at the free agent market, it's really deep with these, like, veteran cheap first basemen, and the corner outfield spot, aside from the top names, isn't as deep, but there are a lot of options there where you could give a one-year, you know, two-year deal to a guy and make sure you kind of get production that would be reminiscent of, like, a really good six-hole hitter. So I would still see them doing that. But then, you know, by the same token, if they don't go out and get someone like Chris Bryant or a third baseman, I would expect him to at least be in the mix for one of those bigger names in the corner outfield, because you have to find this offense somewhere.
What do you think of the market is for a Michael Brantley at age 33 in terms of maybe term and even annual value?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, the weird thing about annual value is, like, this year is so bizarre. in terms of what teams are going to spend. And the market, that's how the market will get set. You know, that said, I think he's a 2-3 year guy. I could see him in the, you know, mid-teens in terms of AAV. I mean, it may be a little bit lower just because he has a late career, but he's still been as productive as ever, and I think that's be a good option for the Nats, for sure. I mean, obviously, you know, I don't think you worry about the lefty stuff in terms of him and Soto both being in the order because they both hit lefties pretty well, and I think you just you if you can get him in the door, you just deal with that later. But I think he makes a lot of sense. But again, if Bryant came, I don't think they would have that kind of money to move around with him too.
Jesse, what about a guy like LeMahieu, who was mentioned also over the weekend? I was talking about this on Friday night, right when that report first came out, and I hadn't, you know, had a chance to talk to anyone, read really anything. I mean, you know he can hit for average, but yeah. He's been dealing with some favorable ballparks at Yankee Stadium and that short porch and obviously Coors Field. Not that Nats Park is a hard place to hit in, especially in the warmer months, but to me, what strikes me is, A, you don't have to give up anything but money, one. And two, You get positional versatility, meaning first base, second base, third base out of a guy. And maybe, you know, injuries or maybe just, you know, you find a way to use him on an everyday basis.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I like him for the Nats. I like him for any team. First of all, you know, he's just one of the best hitters in baseball. And him playing first, second, and third. I don't know if you sign him if you think he's going to be an everyday third baseman. I mean, that might be a stretch for him. But first baseman, he could play a lot first. He could play second, and you could slide Starlin Castro around. I think as long as you're getting these guys at bats, guys like, you know, Castro or Keboom or even Garcia, if he's still up, like, that's, you can move these guys around. LeMahieu, I think, profiles best at second, obviously, and I think if you sign him for big money, you're probably going to play him there as much as you can. I always like the logic of it's only money when you're talking about money versus prospects, because this is obviously a team that in any normal year spends up against the luxury tax in most times and is always staying competitive, at least for the last decade. So that logic works for me. And I think from a lineup standpoint, you put him first. He's one of the best leadoff hitters in baseball, if not, you know, the best. And that allows you to slide down Trey Turner, whether that's two or three. And then Juan Soto is either hitting two or three, too. I mean, that's a really good 1-2-3 in your order. And I think that, you know, putting Trey Turner in a spot where he's hitting with guys on base more. I mean, this year he was just, bases were empty so often for him, not just hitting leadoff, but also because the bottom of the order had such low production, and a lot of his extra base hits were pretty hollow for that reason. I think he's proving, obviously, to maybe be a bit more dynamic than just a typical leadoff hitter, and you could use him in a spot where he could get with guys on base and really be a good run producer for you.
Jesse, we'll let you out on this. It's still kind of a tenuous situation with the pandemic and the virus. Is there any guarantee that Ryan Zimmerman and or Joe Ross are available by February when spring training is scheduled to begin for Major League Baseball? And if not, you know, that makes Washington shopping, especially for pitching help, you know, even more critical to try and get something done here in this offseason.
Yeah, the Joe Ross question is interesting. I mean, he's been reinstated from the restricted list, so right now he is on the roster. And you know, he's also a guy coming up on this December 2nd, you know, non-tender deadline. He is a non-tender candidate. I don't think the Nats are going to non-tender him, but I think if they had indications that he wasn't going to play, I think maybe he would be a bigger non-tender candidate. So if they do carry him past that date, I would say it's pretty sure that he'd be coming to camp. And I imagine that, you know, baseball learning more about the virus and hopefully the world learning more about the virus would affect his decision in terms of, you know, playing or not. So I think you expect to have him around to compete for that fifth starter job again. I think he has the inside track for it, depending on what kind of work he did when he was away from the sport last year. And then Zimmerman is an interesting question as well. But as of now, we don't even know if he's in the, you know, discussion just to even be on the team. He's a free agent. So for pitching, I think you need one rotation arm no matter what. And I think the rest of it can be worked out internally, but they certainly need to address that spot with number four. And as we saw today with Charlie Morton, those guys are starting to go in terms of, you know, Robbie Ray, Drew Smiley, now Charlie Morton, a few guys who took qualifying offers. So that market is was pretty robust, and it's getting smaller by the day. So the Nationals need to definitely act quick there so they don't let it pass them by.
Jesse, appreciate the time. As always, my friend, enjoy your Thanksgiving.
Yep, you guys too. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jesse.
Thank you. Jesse Dougherty joining us. You can go to thewashingtonpost.com and see his story that he wrote, really detailed about Chris Bryant, likely available out here on the market for teams around baseball, and certainly he would fit a need for the Nationals. 1-800-636-1067. you know, your thoughts in addition to obviously what we're talking about the Washington football team, you know, what's your shopping list out there if you're a Nats fan here in this hot stove, which is kind of lukewarm right now because, you know, we don't know what rules we're playing by next year as of yet. That decision should be coming soon as well. But as Jesse indicated, you know, some prominent arms in free agency are coming off the market. Charlie Morton signed a one-year deal for $15 million, and he signed in the division with the Braves today. Thoughts on all of that on the AAA Always On Call listener line at 1-800-636-1067. Pino Sports and the Rooster on a Tuesday afternoon until 6 right here on The Fan.
Insurance agent may call.
To celebrate State Farm's surprisingly great race, we gave this game day jam surprisingly great lyrics.
I saved a lot this year because I called the pros. I am calling State Farm. Hey. I gotta make the phone call. We got that coverage here. Protect your car at home. I am calling State Farm. Hey. I gotta make the phone call.
You can just call now. With a little bit of great friends. With a little bit of great chat. Look at my quote now.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The Fan.
Welcome back. Pino Sports, the Rooster with you till 6. Rooster Scott Abraham caught up with John Wall, asked him about setting the record straight.
Mm-hmm.
John Wall said no comment.
Yeah, it's
now,
not good.
Scott will have more on ABC 7 tonight. About that. So is it a smiling, playful no comment?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Is it a no comment? I mean,
well,
I can't wait to lead this team to a world championship. Right. Come on, John.
Right. And we should point out the way Scott worded the tweet, and I haven't seen the video yet or whatever. It's, do you want to be traded and leave Washington? And he certainly didn't like indicate, and I'm not saying he has to, Scott, but he certainly didn't indicate that there was like a jocularity to it or a joking disposition or something like that. It seemed very much like no comment, you know, like when somebody doesn't want to answer something and have to give the fake answer, that's what it seemed like. I don't want to speak for Scott or John Wall in this case, but I would think Scott would find a way to indicate if it was a ha 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 ha, you're funny, no comment, you know, that type of thing.
This is going to be a distraction. I see this being a distraction coming up, at least the first. And you know what? You know what it's going to be, Chris? It's the same thing I talk about in football locker rooms, everything. When something, just like with Dwayne, everybody else then gets asked about Dwayne.
Yep.
In this case, everybody in that locker room is going to get asked about John. And Tommy Shepard and Scott Brooks are constantly going to get asked about John.
That's exactly the problem. And I think a lot of fans and certainly a lot of media, which is so disappointing, do not understand about, you know, any polarizing topic or personality whatsoever is the impact it has on everyone else. And I've said this, and you can tell me I'm crazy. I've just said this from you know, for the longest time. You know, you look at a guy like Colin Kaepernick, and everybody thinks he's unfairly been blackballed from the NFL, Pete. I guarantee you a huge part of the reason why teams do not want to deal with that is because of this element, that element that you're talking about right there. They do not want to be asked question after question after question after question, person after person after person, story after story, having all of these major networks come in and all that stuff about Colin Kaepernick, period. They don't want to deal with it. It's
Chris,
not
I will
worth
say
it.
This. I will say this. I think organizationally, people at the top won't want to deal with it, but I don't know. I think the players, at least initially, would embrace the conversation about getting Colin back in a locker room.
Perhaps,
now, whether he competes for playing time or something like right now. I mean, look, Cincinnati could conceivably bring him in as an extra quarterback, and if Ryan Finley is, you know, awful like he was on Sunday, then what would it hurt Cincinnati to put Colin Kaepernick out there and play in this situation? Because their season's not going anywhere anyway.
Right.
So, you know, maybe, but the Bengals are never a team that really wants to step out in a situation like that anyway. So it's probably not the franchise to do it. But, you know, but it wouldn't hurt. And I think because of what has happened to Colin, I think a lot of players in locker rooms would embrace it, at least initially. You know, three, four, five weeks down the line, that's one thing. But I think guys would initially welcome that conversation in the locker room, knowing what Colin has gone through here, you know, essentially, for lack of a better term, being blackballed from the National Football League.
I think that's a really a good point that I didn't think of, but here's another point that I just kind of thought of. If there was ever going to be a year where you were going to want to control the circus, this would be it, right? I mean, nobody can go in any locker room.
No, that's true.
So, I mean, you would still get questions from your CNNs and your Foxes and your ETs and this and that, and the, you know, and from all of the, you know, all of the different areas, but you can control who you allow into these Zooms. I suppose you can control who you let into your building, but if in the past, if you brought in a Colin Kaepernick, and which is why I would always argue why Washington should have never, you can't handle it because you're so overwhelmingly in demand for everything, quite honestly, that isn't about football. Some buildings, some organizations, some PR staffs can handle it. I never felt the Redskins / Washington with everything else that went around here.
You don't think Tony Wiley
could
have handled that during his time here? I mean, Tony's as good an NFL PR guy as there is.
I think Tony had his hands tied in a lot of ways. And I think Tony sometimes was resigned to just getting through every day. I think this organization took the best out of Tony.
I can understand that, but I believe that if you have, and that has to be part of it, you have to have strong public relations department to handle that. There's no question about it. But, you know, it would not, that would be a door. And if I was Roger Goodell, I would even call Cincinnati and say, hey, you know, we've got to make amends here. And I know he won't do that, but, you know, like I said, I just think the players would welcome the conversation. I really do. I think they'd welcome the conversation initially. And again, at least then we could answer the question so people one way or the other would know. Because every time it's brought up by people on Twitter, Chris, it's been 3-4 years since he's played at an elite level. And, you know, he can't do that. Well, we don't know.
We don't know because he hasn't been given
the opportunity.
Right, but we don't know that, Pete. But here's the other part of it that always struck me, and maybe I'm wrong on this, right? Maybe this is the cynical side of me, and I would admit maybe it is. A team that goes and signs a Colin Kaepernick, whether it be the Bengals, the Redskins, or Washington, or whatever organization, right? They would be hailed as, hey, you know what? They did this and gave this guy an opportunity to come back. Or they could be criticized for doing it for nefarious reasons, meaning to sell tickets or to raise publicity or to get themselves, you know, in back in the good graces and the headlines and all that stuff. That's one. But more importantly, what if and what happens if you A, decide, you know what, he's not good enough to be the starter. Even if your quarterback is kind of up and down and maybe struggling, i.e., say, like Baker Mayfield style, right? Where, you know, you're winning games, but he's not playing consistently great or some situation like that. Or what happens if you decide, you know what, after 4 years, this guy just doesn't have it anymore. And then
right,
you
but
cut
Chris,
him.
Chris, he hasn't even gotten to the point where he can come to a camp, have a tryout.
I know, but teams.
Look, here's what I would do. If I was a coach, and I would tell the truth, if he came in and his workout wasn't very good, I'd just come out and say, hey, we really gave it a good shot. We appreciate Colin coming in here and working hard and trying to show us something. We just didn't feel there was anything there. At least then we'd have something on record of someone, you know, bringing him in physically into their facility to let him try and show them something and then at least give us a truthful answer. At least at that point you have that. We have never, We've never gotten to that point outside of that one workout where they eventually ended up at a high school place and stuff like that.
Well,
and,
there was, you know, the meeting with Seattle way back when, and then there was all that talk about Baltimore before his girlfriend kind of threw Baltimore's ownership under the bus, right?
That didn't go well.
No. But what I guess what I'm saying is teams are paranoid and fearful of the circus and then the ensuing criticism when they don't elevate him to either the starting quarterback or if they decide to end the experience.
It's not criticism if he comes in, tries out, and he's not good enough, and you come out and you say that.
I disagree, Pete.
It's not criticism. If you look, Chris,
if you're the Jets and Adam Gase, right? Imagine you're the Jets and Adam Gase, and you got Darnold, who's constantly banged up, and Joe Flacco, right? And you're going nowhere. If you give Colin Kaepernick a chance and don't sign him, how do you justify that? Do you think that's going to go over well?
Because if Adam Gase is rolling his beady little eyes, if he comes in and his tryout stinks, then you tell everybody his tryout stunk.
And they go, what do you know? You don't know nothing. Well, you haven't won a game. You're Adam Gase. You're stupid.
Nobody,
you're getting fired.
Nobody has given him that chance.
I know, but they haven't even gotten to that level.
If somebody got, if somebody just did that, and his tryout wasn't very good, and somebody would come out and say that, then we've got an answer to the question finally. Then the circus goes away.
Isn't by not signing him after that dog and pony show that the Redskins actually went to and went to the second sign? Isn't that the answer that you really
because
need?
Because nobody of consequence went on record. There were no coaches there or anything that said, that basically his workout stunk or something like that.
You know, this isn't an on-the-record league. To me, off the record, and the fact that it went nowhere told me everything I needed to know.
Oh, I would agree with that. I would agree with that. But at least if somebody brought him in when there's a quarterback issue, and the longer we go, the more fruitless it is because the guy's, he's 33 now.
Yeah.
So, but at least if somebody had him in the facility and his workout didn't go very good and they came out and said, look, you know, Colin came in, did everything we asked him to do. We just didn't see anything there that could help us. Then at least we'd have that answer. He's never been afforded the opportunity for that answer.
That's fair.
I mean, that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. And that's all I think a lot of people are saying. You know, all of your writers, especially in the African-American community, are saying he hasn't gotten to that point. And that's where the circus would end. If somebody had him in the facility and he didn't perform very well, and they didn't sign him, then at that point, some of that circus does eventually go away. But again, that would still, the only thing that would be left to discuss is why it took them so long to do that. We'll get back to some of your calls at 1-800-636-1067. That's AAA Always On Call listener line. Pete on Sports and the Rooster. 6 on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
Welcome back. Beano Sports and the Rooster with you. John Riggins at 5. Keep it locked in right here as we'll talk to Riggo coming up at the top of the hour. Let's go to John at Fairfax. John, you're on 106.7 The Fan. Hello.
Hey, Pete and Rooster, happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Same to you. Happy Turkey Day.
Gobble, gobble. Good to talk to Chris in the afternoon. It's usually in the evening with him. Hey. Let's go back to the Nats a little bit. I don't know if you guys discussed one other free agent I think that's out there, and he's an outfielder, and he's got a pretty good stick, and he's a decent outfielder, is I think Jock Peterson from the Dodgers. What do you guys think about him? Peterson, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's got pretty, right? He's got pretty good pop, but he's not really a, I don't know. He is not really consistent enough for me, right? Or no? Am I wrong on that?
No, I mean, look, he's a guy that's overachieved a little bit. You know, I believe he's like a 10th or 11th round pick. And I think he's done okay. But at this point, I wonder what the market would be for him out there right now. And could he help you? I mean, look, he's a left-handed bat, but you know, just like we talked about with Michael Brantley, you're trying to, in my mind, if you're going to sign somebody, you want somebody that's going to impact the lineup around Juan Soto. And I don't know if Jock Peterson does that for me. enough, to be honest with you.
Not with a 190 batting average last year, I can tell you that much.
But, I mean, look, you know, early in his career, I mean, this is a guy that hit, you know, I mean, in 19 in a full season, the guy hit 36 home runs.
Yes. Does have some pop, yeah.
You know, he's got enough pop.
To me, guys like that are frustrating. They drive me crazy, though. I'll jump in. I know it's not an average league anymore. Like guys like DJ LeMay, who are not looked upon like they once used to be. And teams will take guys that hit 248 and hit 28 home runs. That's not the kind of player I want, quite honestly. I have to be able to trust guys that they know how to get a big two out hit to the opposite field or they know how to, you know, put the bat on the baseball when you need them to. And it's not just feast or famine, home run or bust. And I'm sorry, there's too much of that in today's game. Look at Bryce Harper. It's a classic example of what I'm talking about. I mean, Bryce is, you know, obviously a tremendous player and tremendous talent, but it almost seems like it's boom or bust for him.
Yeah, but you know what though? Baseball is a lot of boom or bust now.
It's I don't have to like that.
It's a lot of slow pitch softball. We're either hitting home runs or But I mean, look, the question's going to become this. And he had 514 plate appearances that year, by the way, to hit those 36 home runs. And 111 strikeouts is not as bad as it was. I mean, his rookie year, he struck out 170 times. So he cut down on that. But the question to me is going to be, you know, who's going to cost less? If the money's comparable, I'd rather have Brantley. But if I had to settle for Jock Peterson, I could settle for that. But Brantley or any of the other guys would be, you know, my first choice, quite frankly. But, you know, if I had to settle for him, I don't think that would be terrible. I think, again, I threw out last year. I just don't think it mattered for a lot of reasons.
You mentioned Brantley's, though, 33 years old,
and
right?
Peterson's only 28.
Yeah, I mean, so that counts for something. Your body holds up theoretically a little bit more. And let's not forget, this team, you know, Adam Eaton's probably not coming back, right? They declined the mutual option on him, and they let Michael A. Taylor go, right? So this team, I know you're high on Andrew Stevenson, but this team needs a little bit more than Andrew Stevenson.
Well, if you're going to take one guy, and we got to get the break, but if you're going to take one guy and make him an everyday guy, Peterson would be that guy because he's going to hit more home runs. Andrews is not going to hit, you know, 25 or 30 home runs. He's going to hit for better average, but he's not going to hit 25 or 30 home runs like Peterson has the ability to give you. Talk about that coming up again next hour, but special treat coming up next. The great John Riggins joins us right here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
A new era of Washington football starts now. And you can hear it all right here.
He's going to run it.
Are
is into the end zone.
Football.
Touchdown.
Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.